We trust you enjoyed that number, and now we want you to bow with us for a word of prayer. Our Father and our God, how thankful we are that thou art a sovereign God, a God who loves sinners, a God who died for sinners, and a God who protects and provides for every individual, for every one of thy children. And we bow before thee today to give thee the glory and the honor, and praise thee again for the supplying of every need. Lord, how thankful we are that thou hast enabled us to broadcast thy truth by the means of radio, and we ask that thou wilt continue to use it for thy glory and honor as thou hast been doing. O our Lord, thou art so gracious and good and so faithful, and we just give you all the praise and the honor and the glory. And we ask you now, please unctionize this endeavor, make it acceptable first in thy sight, and then use it for thy glory and honor to bring individuals unto thyself, as well as to strengthen and edify thy children. But whatever it is, we pray, Lord, get glory to thyself in all that's said and done. We ask it now, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. This is the Mercies of God radio broadcast coming to you from Grand Rapids, Michigan. This is a pastor, Pastor Peter Nortier, or Nortier, speaking to you, and we're delighted to come into your home by the means of radio. Whenever it is you hear us, always remember we count it a real privilege to be a radio guest in your home. We hope that the broadcast will continue to be a blessing to you. Some of you may be driving down the highway, and so we just ask you, tune your radio up a little bit, and then keep your eyes on the road so you make sure you don't get in a wreck. We don't want that to happen. And then some of you may be eating breakfast. Others of you may be getting ready for church, and some of you may be hearing us at night. We don't know. But whenever it is, always remember, we count it a privilege to be a radio guest in your home. And we want you to do these three things for us, if you will. Number one, pray for us if you're on praying ground. If you're not, you just don't know what you're missing. Number two, tell your friends and neighbors and acquaintances, if you will, about the broadcast. Give them the name of the station, the call letters, and the time and the name of the program. And then ask them to tune in, and maybe you can follow up on it, if you will. Then the third thing we want you to do is drop us a letter or a card. Our mailing address is very simple. It's the Mercies of God Association, or you may abbreviate it and put MOGA, M-O-G-A, and the street number is 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan. Zip code is 49505. I'll repeat it again. The Mercies of God Association, or MOGA, 1553 Knapp Street, Northeast, Grand Rapids, Michigan, 49505. We're also on the Internet. You can pick us up at podcastharbor.com. When you do that, go to the media, and then you'll find our broadcast, and you can pick it up. And always remember, we count it a privilege to come into your home. Now let's get quiet there on the radio. Let's listen to another number, and then we'll bring you a message from the Word of God. Remember, we'll be looking to hear from you, so don't diss upon us.
Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn with me to the first chapter of the book of Colossians, and I'm going to begin reading at verse 12 down through verse 23. Giving thanks unto the Father, who hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness, and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they be things in heaven or things in earth, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death, to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Our subject today is the blessedness of God's providence. Last time we brought a message on the subject, the providence of God. Today we shall pursue this theme a bit farther and bring you a message wherein the providence of God is exhibited. Let me say at the outset that the providence of God is a truth which will thrill the soul of every true believer, as well as chill the soul of every unbeliever. You see, the providence of God means that God's in control of all things in this world. No matter what it is, it's under the control and dominion of the Lord God of heaven, and it means also that God is working all things after the counsel of his will. Therefore, every individual will fulfill the purpose of God that he has set out for that individual life. As I said before, I'll say again, if you get saved, it will be to the praise of the glory of God's grace, and you'll praise the Lord for all eternity. If you never get converted because you don't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you also will fulfill the purpose of God, even though you'll spend an eternity in a devil's hell. The importance of the providence of God is twofold. First, the providence of God puts the Lord on the throne where he belongs, and it puts man on his face before God where he belongs. Now, this is galling to the unsaved religionist and causes him to rebel, but it is blessed to the redeemed because it exalts and glorifies the Lord, which is what the redeemed of the Lord desire to do. In Psalm 107 and verse 8, we see this set forth where it says, "All that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men." And the second aspect of the providence of God is the reality that all things are under the knowledge and control of our Lord, as I brought out a moment or two ago. I'd just like to continue that theme, if I may. This means that God works all things after the counsel of his will, and he does according to his good pleasure. Now, what's this entail? It means that there are no surprises or crises with the Lord, because he governs all things, whether they be good or evil, and it also means that nothing can happen to a believer but what God knows all about it, and first of all, it's going to go past the throne of God's grace. When this truth grips the soul, it humbles us before the Lord God of heaven, but it also equips us to stand against all the efforts of wicked men as well as the evil one. When trouble comes, we are enabled to see the hand of God in it, and we are able to praise him regardless of the circumstances. This is the importance of the providence of God. Now let me stop and ask you a question at this hour. Where do you stand with regard to this great Bible doctrine, my radio friend? Do you rejoice in it, even though you don't fully understand it? Or do you rebel with regard to the providence of the Lord God of heaven? Next, we see the blessedness of the providence of God because of its many implications. In God's providence, we see all things under the control and guidance of our Lord. This includes all things, but we shall only have time to set forth just a few of them. Now, when we mean all things, we mean absolutely everything is under the control of the Lord God of heaven. And even though this is a wicked world in which we are living in, and the nations are rushing, as it were, to get ready for another great conflagration, yet we find this is all under the control of the Lord God of heaven, and he's working out his counsel, and he's working out his will, regardless of what the nations may try or attempt to do. First, we call your attention to the events of human history. Now, history is the record of events which involve people, nations, and actions. History also has a way of repeating itself because man never seems to learn from the events of history. A few years ago, we fought a war to get rid of Nazism and fascism. But today, we see not only have we been armed against the onslaught of communism and everything else going forth, but we find that we see very clearly the nations of this world are as unsettled as they can be. In 1939, the world leaders learned the hard way that appeasement only whets the appetite of dictators, no matter who they may be. But today, our leaders seem to have forgotten this reality. Yet in spite of what is taking place, Jehovah God is on the throne, and all things are under his control. The events of human history are all known to God in heaven, and they are directed by his providence. This statement needs proving, so take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalm chapter 47 and verses 6 through 8, where we read these words. "Sing praises to God, sing praises. Sing praises unto our King, sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing ye praises with understanding. God reigns over the nations," or heathen. "God sitteth upon the throne of his holiness." Now turn, if you will, to the book of Daniel, where we read of an example of God ruling in the affairs of nations. Look at Daniel for just a moment. Daniel, we find, was here an advisor to King Belshazzar, and he is speaking to him regarding the Lord God of heaven. Daniel told Belshazzar what had happened to King Nebuchadnezzar when he stood proud before the Lord. This is found in Daniel chapter 5. And look with me, if you will, at these words. And he was driven from the sons of men, and his heart was made like the beasts, and his dwelling was with the wild asses. They fed him with grass like oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruled in the kingdom of men, and that he appointed over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and the writing was written. And this is the writing that was written. Mene, mene, tekel, upharsin. This is the interpretation of the thing. Mene, God has numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balances and found wanting. Pieres, the plural of upharsin, thy kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. In that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, slain, and Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old. Now what do we have right here? Here we see a direct action of God revealed with regard to the affairs of human history. What my Lord did then, he is doing today, because he rules in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, what doest thou? Now, in the light of this, let me ask you a question. Have you bowed your heart and your knee unto this great God, the God of the universe, who is the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, my friend, if you haven't, you just don't know what you're missing. Because someday, and it won't be long, you're going to stand before the Lord God of heaven. But at that time, it will be too late for you if you don't come to know Christ as your Lord and your Savior. The providence of God extends not only to human history, but includes also the sinful acts of mankind. Take your Bibles now and turn to 2 Samuel chapter 16 and verse 5, verses 10, 11, and 12, where we read, And when King David came to Bahurim, behold, there came out a man of the family of the house of Saul, whose name was Shimei, the son of Gera. And he came forth and cursed still as he came. Then said Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, unto the king, Why should this dead dog curse my lord the king? Let me go over, I pray thee, and take off his head. And the king said, What have I to do with you, ye sons of Zeruiah? So let him curse, because the Lord hath said unto him, Curse David. Who then shall say, Wherefore hast thou done so? And David said unto Abishai and to all his servants, Behold, my son, which came forth out of my bowels, seeketh my life. How much more now may this Benjamite do it? Let him alone, and let him curse, for the Lord hath bidden him. It may be that the Lord will look on me, and that the Lord will requite me good for his cursing this day. Now what do we have here? Here we see the Lord God of heaven allowing evil acts to be performed against his servants, or his servant, I should say, and David knew that it was the hand of the Lord, so therefore he could not raise a finger against it. David recognized the hand of the Lord in the evil actions of Shimei and committed himself unto the providence of God because he knew that nothing would befall him unless first it passed the throne of God's grace and then it would be for David's good. I wonder how many of us are aware of the providence of God as David was. If we were, we would be much more stable and strong in these last and perilous days. Next, we see also, as we set forth the providence of God, we need to see the set forth the providence of God with regard to salvation. Now, hold your seat and pay close attention, because some of you are probably going to be upset as you hear this great truth. Listen to what it says. My Lord has decreed that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Christ also hath decreed that it is by the foolishness of preaching that men should believe. Coupled with this, we see also that the Lord has decreed that preaching be done by his servants, because the Scripture says in Romans 10, chapter 10 and verse 14, these words, How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed, and how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard, and how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, How beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Here we have God's method in reaching of the lost. It is the method of preaching the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ under the power of God the Holy Spirit. I have been pastor of the Baptist Church in Elmont for many years, and I will stay here until my work is finished, which God has given me to do. During the time that I've been here, I have seen many saved and some reprobated. God has raised up this work for the purpose of setting forth the truth, as it is to men and women and boys and girls as they are. By His providence, a preacher was sent to preach to me, a lost preacher, so that I could be saved. By His providence, the Lord sent me to Elmont, so the elect of God there can be saved. Some have been converted, others are being dealt with by the Lord, while some have rebelled and gone off into the darkness of judicial blindness and reprobation. In like manner, the same thing is true with regard to this radio broadcast. You haven't tuned in this broadcast by happenstance. It's come by God's providence. This broadcast has been raised up by the providence of God. Those of you listening to me now have tuned in because God, in direct providence and appointment, has caused you to tune in to hear exactly what you are hearing. Some of you bless the Lord because of this program, while others become disturbed and upset and try to find fault because the truth of God has gone home to their hearts. When the truth goes home to the hearts, the individuals are made to face reality, and especially the reality of their lost and undone condition. And as I've said before, I'm going to say again, my friend, you may never come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, but you cannot get away from the providence of God. Thus far, we have set forth the reality of God's providence, ruling and controlling all things. In like manner, as I mentioned again, it was the providence of God that the Lord caused you to come to tune in the broadcast, and it was in like manner that the providence of God, through the providence of God, I should say, the Lord Jesus Christ came to die for sinners. On the cross of Calvary, my Lord paid the debt of sin hanging over every one of us, bearing our sin in His own body, and then burying it in the grave and under His blood. My Lord arose victorious over sin, death, hell, and the grave. Now, right now, He offers you a full and free pardon if you will but repent and sue for mercy on the basis that Christ died for sinners and you are the sinner. You have only one hope and one plea, and that is that Christ died for sinners and He died for you. There's a song that a huckster used to sing, and he'd go along and he'd sing this little song. I'm just a sinner. I'm nothing at all. But Christ Jesus died for me. He's my all in all. He picked it up from a housewife as he was peddling his wares. And then one day as he was singing this song, and it had a little catchy tune, and he liked it, and the Holy Spirit of God pierced his heart with the arrow of conviction, and he could only begin to sing these words, I'm just a sinner. And a little later on, God enlarged that song in his heart a little bit more, and he began also to say these words, I'm just a sinner. I'm nothing at all. And when God brought him under conviction and dealt with him and redeemed him by His precious blood, that song became a living reality to him, and he'd go along and sing it wherever he could. I'm just a sinner. I'm nothing at all. But Christ Jesus died for me. He's my all in all. Now let me ask you a question. What about you at this hour? Where do you stand with regard to the Lord Jesus Christ? Is He your all in all? If He's not, my friend, then I'm going to tell you right now, you need to bow your head and your heart before Him in repentance and bow your knee before the Lord God of heaven, recognizing as God shows you that you are a lost, despicable, hell-deserving sinner, and yet it was the providence of God that caused you to tune in and listen to this broadcast, and now if the Lord's dealing with your heart, we want to say to you very kindly, my friend, the Lord God of heaven is bringing you in contact with Himself. You'll never again be the same, because you cannot say that you have not heard the truth of God. Reject the truth and perish forever, but it's your responsibility. My friend, if you hear the truth, and I hope that you will, you'll respond and come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Belshazzar heard the truth, but rejected it. Now what about you? The greatest thing that can happen to you, if it ever does, is for the Lord Jesus to stop by your heart's door and reach down and deliver you with a full and free and eternal salvation. My hope is that something has been said that God will take and stir your heart and deal with you until he brings you down the road of conviction and brings you into a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. As I've said before, it's the greatest thing that can ever happen to you if it ever does. And my hope is that it will, even at this hour. Until we meet again, this is Pastor Peter Nortier saying goodbye, and oh, may the Lord spare you before it's too late.